If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
You've heard me talk about the great butcher shop, Joseph's Finest Meats, 7101 West Addison Street in Chicago, on the northwest side in Dunning neighborhood. Take it from the butcher himself, Ben Camarda.
Where I'm in the shop, I'm surrounded by some of the best food in the city. But that's coming from me, Ben. Tell us why this is the place to come if you're going to get some real good sausage.
All of our sausages are made with all natural pork. There's no fillers. There's no preservatives. There's no any type of chemicals in there. And we don't like to over season the meat, but we like to have enough spices in there just to give it the right amount of flavor, because we'd like people to actually taste the quality of the meat that we're using.
What's your favorite part about just having a family business doing this and me being in the neighborhood?
We have a family atmosphere here. Everybody that walks through our front door is treated like family, and it's very nice to be able to know people on a name-to-name basis and respect each other as family.
Remember, Joseph's Finest Meats, 7101 West Addison Street in Chicago, a family tradition since 1977. A proud sponsor of JohnCastNews.com and the Chicago Way podcast, the place where I'll drive across states to get their sausage. For the past few days, I've been at the St. George of Schererville Greek Orthodox Church picnic. It's really a festival of food. Thousands of people get in line, and they're all coming up to get some good Greek food. So they want lamb, they want Greek chicken, they want loukoumades, and they're coming up in their cars and they're demanding it. Betty's working with the women's group that's putting out the food. It was so popular that they even ran out of lamb one day. Give me some lamb. We're out, sir. No! They're screaming in Northern Indiana dialect. And so we're out there and we're enjoying ourselves, enjoying some music, and a Greek band was playing and we're having fun. And that's when friends of mine, new friends of ours who had lived in the city, lived in Chicago like me, hand out a real estate card, a picture of Pritzker, Indiana's number one realtor. And I'm thinking, my God, they're right. The people are being driven out and they're coming to Northwest Indiana. And I'm a little worried. I mean, are we going to become like another New York? Like, what's ever good about Northwest Indiana is going to be driven out by a bunch of Chicago people? I don't know. Why are the people leaving and coming to Northwest Indiana? Because guys like Pritzker, they're not coming for the gyro meat and with the extra tzatziki sauce. The things that are changing. Okay, I'll give you an example of what's changed in Chicago. Do you remember there was a breed of cat called Chicago media? Like the Chicago Press Corps, they were tough. They were indomitable. And people like, I'll give you some names. Steve Huntley, him, he writes for John Cass News now. There was Steve Neal, Fran Spielman, Ray Coffey, all those great journalists. And now what do they have? The Klomskys? Are you kidding? The socialist Klomskys are telling us how great Zoran Mondami is because he's sort of like, I guess, Harold Washington. They're drawing threads between Harold Washington, Zoran Mondami. I can't wait till they recanonize Barack Obama. That's the media, and people see through it, and they're like, forget it. Nah, fisa the. And they come out to Northwest Indiana, or they go all the way to Florida, or Tennessee, Texas. That's where Steve Huntley is. He's in Austin, Texas, I think. And we've all been driven out by the politics of despair. And you see the same thing going on in Washington. The news out of Washington now is that Barack Obama, James Clapper, and the rest of the deep state were behind the efforts to discredit President Donald Trump, to ruin his presidency, turn the government around. You know, they tell us that democracy dies in darkness, right? Isn't it the Washington Post said? But they don't tell us that in order to die in darkness, we have to be stupid. And of course, that's happening because we're seeing what Tulsi Gabbard is doing. She's releasing all those documents. I know I'm a little excited talking about it, but I'm proud of my little brother, my younger brother, Nicholas, who's now the chairman of the National Intelligence Council. I think they're involved in this. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. I don't ask him about his work. But I think it's a great day that free people stand up and give a mutzah to the main mutzah man. I'll have something more to say about Obama and the deep state later on in the week on at John Cass News, but we're all sitting there talking about all this stuff that's happening, and they point out to me that Pritzker is the great real estate salesman of Northwest Indiana, and everyone's coming out. You see all this farmland being converted to homes. Thousands and thousands of homes are being built. Why? Because it's safe to live here and the taxes are low. The politicians here are not taking your money. In Chicago, they take your money. It's like a fee. Like you are just renting your house. You're renting your house. You're renting the privilege of paying them more money. No, thank you. To talk about this, today we're having Ted Dabrowski of Wirepoints.org on to talk about Indiana's number one realtor, Pritzker. Jeff Carlin is here as always, friend of cats, baker of pies, executive producer at WGN Radio, and future physics teacher. And I'm John Cass, editor-in-chief of John Cass News, where for $50 a year, you'll get your full cup of common sense. And where are you as Pritzker bloviates, as Barack Obama pretends to love you, as the news media in Chicago offers people like the Klomskys to tell you what's going on, and as the people of New York ride the tiger and inch ever closer to electing a socialist in the capitalist center of America? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way. Absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
As promised, we're joined by Ted Dabrowski of Wirepoints. And I've got to ask him a question. Is Illinois as great as Governor Pritzker says it is?
Sadly, it's nowhere near what he says it is. He's a great cheerleader to say the right things, but most of the times what he's saying is just not truthful about Illinois' economy, about our schools, about our population. He's always cheerleading, but to be fair, it's not an honest approach to telling the people the truth about what's happening here.
And Ted, this past week, Big Boy was coming out and saying, you know, hey, look at us, we're growing. It's this very specific data point that I want to tout out and cheerlead, as you said. And it caught the ire of the folks at Wirepoints. And I was wondering if you could maybe break that down for the listeners if they didn't see that online. But it has to do with our CNBC business ranking poll, which, you know, take that for what it is to begin with.
Well, yeah. So, there's a CNBC business ranking. They do it every year, and they take a whole bunch of different metrics and try to say which are the best states for business in the country. And you know, out of nowhere, Illinois jumps from 30-something to 13th. And so, of course, Governor Pritzker saw that. you know, he'll grab anything he can to say that things are better in Illinois or that things are good under him in Illinois. When you look at it and you start, you know, digging underneath the numbers, you start to say, well, wait a minute, you know, this is why this ranking says we're so good. But it runs in total contrast to what Illinoisans and our businesses and our entrepreneurs are living under every day. So we kind of broke it down and said, here's the truth.
What was that truth? I mean, I know you guys laid it out pretty bullet pointed, but it's, you know, put it in your words because I don't want to, you know, yeah, I sure. can read well, it, but.
Yeah, well, you know, so they put, what is it, like 10 different things in there. They include the economy. So, you know, how's the economy? It's one of the many factors of how good Illinois' economy is. They include infrastructure, of course, like the workforce. They include education, cost of living, all those things. And they wrap it up into an index. And so the problem is that, you know, in their ranking, the economy is 44th worst in the, you know, it's 44th in the country, right? So yeah. We're bad.
50 states, right? Still, right?
Right. 40, and so somehow we, from the economy being the 44th, somehow their index puts us at 13th. And then you have to figure out why. And, you know, one of the reasons why is, well, they put us education third. You know, that's a joke.
Because our education is so good in public education, right, Ted?
Yeah, it's so bad. I mean, so I'll tell you one of the reasons why they put it as good is because we have Northwestern, University of Chicago, University of Illinois. And if you think about it from three you know, institutions that are of you know, high, you know, high, whatever you want to call it, stature in the country, they are. And you can give a good ranking for that. But, you know, nobody gives a damn about how good the education, you know, institutions are if you got the highest property taxes, if you got the, you know, like population shrinking. You got the fifth worst job creation in the country, the most pension debts, right? So this is why this whole thing of putting education third, they got access to capital fifth in the country. Yeah, we're Chicago. We're one of the biggest cities in the, you know, in the world. Of course, we have access to capital. But so to me, this whole index hides just how bad Illinois' economy is, and you know, the two numbers that we look at for the economy at WirePoints are economic growth, like GDP growth,
right?
And we're the fourth worst in the country, right? So there's only three states in the country did worse than we did. And the other is job creation, and we're fifth worst in the country since Pritzker took over, as a matter of fact.
Well, what about the job of working on the U-Haul trucks, getting the U-Haul trucks ready to haul people out of here?
Well, exactly. I mean, so if you're a company, you're saying, okay, do I want to relocate to Illinois?
Right.
Population is shrinking, right? Or do I want to go to Florida, you know, which is growing by millions? It's, you know, it's a pretty easy, pretty easy answer. And this is the problem we have. And, you know, Pritzker and this index ignore that, right? I mean, you know, are you in a thriving state or not? And we should, by the way, we should be a thriving state. We should be a top five state. Everything we should do should make us a top five state in growth and prosperity and, you know, in incomes. But
geographically, we're perfectly situated to be a top five state. Why
sure,
not?
Yeah.
Why aren't we?
With resources, yeah.
Policy, right?
Right. I mean, look, I mean, again, you bring up the educational institutions, right? Great. You got the lake. You've got, we've got, of course, our land. Our geographic location, you got the airport, the transportation infrastructure.
Right.
Come on, we got the history. We got Chicago. I mean, Chicago should be like the economic engine of the Midwest that it should be. It is by scale, but not because it's growing in the same way as it should. We should be a top. That should be our ambition, really. And, you know, Illinois should be a top five, top 10 state for economic growth and you know, and job growth and income growth for people. That's where we should be, and we don't think that way. We lost any kind of ability to think that way as a state.
What about crime? Because I know that the mayor's responsible for the Chicago Police Department, but crime is also a statewide concern. And how is Illinois faring on that?
We had, and it's interesting in our piece, we had, you know, Ken Griffin and leaving on crime. So right. Crime matters a lot, right? Especially in Chicago. Yeah. I mean, it matters everywhere, right? It matters in Decatur and Peoria and Rockford too, but of course Chicago being the big. And we have for 13 years in a row led the country in total murders. 13 years in a row, jeez. Right? I mean, New York's three times the size. LA is whatever it is, 1.5 times the size. They are much lower than we are in murders, and that's kind of a measure for me of how out what an outlier we are.
You know, I mean, our street gangs are better. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, I think the whole control of crime is a tougher discussion, but
right.
Just the fact that we're such an extreme outlier means that it's just part of the whole overall corruption we have in this state. So Ken Griffin said he pulled out Citadel, and one of the big reasons was he was worried about his employees. So crime is a big deal.
And you mentioned this the education thing, and I just wanted to follow up on this. It's okay, we've got three great schools, but if you want to go to a kid wants to go to Northwestern, that's $97,000 for 1 year, including all fees, tuitions, room and board. You want to use University of Chicago, looking at $65,000, and U of I, which is a bargain at $40,000 a year. But like that's 1 year, and what family making, maybe what's even six figures could bring that in. And that's the best of the best. With everything else that we've seen is just, abysmal at best. And there are some great community colleges and some great options for like that. But when we break it down, dude, that's got to be up there with violence is one of the things people think about more often than not. And how does that not become, how is it such a heavy weight in this, idea that, hey, look, we're so good? Like, how can that rank so high?
Well, I personally don't think that these, CNBC type rankings mean anything. They're great for them to get all kinds of press, right? Because, different states, whoever's at the top, and they got, look, Florida and whatever are at the top because, well, they're at the top. But, this kind of ranking helped Illinois move up, and it's just not very truthful in that sense. I don't pay attention to these things because they're just trying to make money and trying to sell.
Clickbait. Right,
Yeah,
sure.
right.
Well, one thing that the people should pay attention to is New York is the financial capital of the world. Chicago is the place where if you couldn't work, if you didn't want to work, you couldn't work anywhere. Chicago was the city that work was. And now we have a communist mayor of Chicago. The city is falling apart. And in the capital city of capitalism, New York, they're about to elect a communist mayor. What does that mean for the city of New York and the people and the region and the country?
Well, it is the wake-up call. And if you're if you love Chicago the way the great, powerful, the city that works, right? New York's, I mean, New York City, it's for me, it's an amazing place. I got to live there for 2 years. And to think that somebody like that who has no work experience, no real understanding of what it takes to have a city like that thrive and function, right? It's got to have all the engines working, and you got to have the free markets and the businesses creating jobs and hiring. And for me, the good thing is that guys like Johnson and Mamdani are waking up the world to like, hey, are you going to cede your great cities to people like this? Or are you going to take them on, and are you going to do get organized and take it back? I think the big civic leaders, the big corporate leaders, ordinary everyday people, they got to wake up and fight back, because if not, they can do real destruction to and like Johnson's doing, he's doing real destruction to Chicago. We got to fight back.
With over three decades of serving up streetwise insight and local perspective on Page Two, the voice of John Cass has a home at johncassnews.com, a place where common sense is still served daily.
Listen up. You like being treated as a chumbalone, as a fool, sitting on a stool, smiling wanly at the sky?
Don't be a chumbalone and subscribe at johncassnews.com.
I'm John Cass, 40 years, a newspaper man in Chicago. I won't name the place. It's just the paper now.
That's the Chicago way.
But I'm asking you to join me so you can get a decent cup of common sense, at least. You're not going to get it from the media. It's time that you join the frontier of independent journalism at johncassnews.com.
Don't get caught in the parade of chumalones.
Traditional media, mainstream media like the paper, they're all in on it. They think you're stupid. You know what they think? They think you're a chumbalone.
Subscribe at johncassnews.com now for only $50 a year and become a member of the No Chumbalone Zone.
Well, the thing is about fighting back, it's not just with feelings. Like, I love this city. To run a city takes more than feelings. What do you need to do? You need to be able to balance your books and understand where the money is going. Is there good economic training in politics to set you up to run a city?
No. Well, first of all, I think even before you get to that, though, John, you need unity across the people, right? And this is the problem, is that Mamdani can unify people better than whatever, however you want to say it, our side, the freedom-loving people. The freedom-loving people aren't unifying and organizing themselves. and the Mamdanis of the world are. And so step number one is unify. And that means leadership and a good message and a good understanding of what you just mentioned. Now, you need people have a sense of budgets, people have a sense of business, you know, people have a sense of competing, right? Because this is about competition too, right? I mean, you want to compete. We're all competing for talent and people and capital. And you know, guys like Johnson chase it away. Guys like Mamdani will chase it away. And we need to-
If they know what it is.
Well-
They don't even know what it is.
Well, they don't know what it is, but they push the opposite of that, right? Free everything, right? So it does take ordinary people. Yeah, the problem is too is that ordinary people have a hard time, business people getting into the mix of the politics because it's so damn nasty these days. So
yeah,
but we need to get away from the political hacks, and we need to get back to maybe it's just boring professional people who know what to do.
But they had a chance in Chicago. They had a chance. They had a choice between a manager, a person who understood finance, and someone who was a sloganeer like Johnson.
But I'm going to go back to unity and organization, though, right?
Yeah. Because
that many people vote. And so, you know, I would say that, you know, when you have such low turnout, you're giving it away to the groups that are more organized. And because they get all the benefits, I say they, the public sector, unions, the CTE.
Right.
Since they benefit the most, they're out there. And, you know, you got this, our other side, which is not paying attention, too busy or don't care, whatever you want to say. They didn't organize, but, you know, you didn't need that many more votes for a guy like Vallis to win, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm being rather rude today, but I have a vested interest. I'm writing a column, and I wonder from a fellow who, like you, Ted, what warnings would you be giving the people of New York?
The warnings is like, holy cow, if this guy in the way he's talking, you know, is a socialist, is almost, you know, almost a communist, right?
Right.
Your major corporations at the margin, all of them will invest less tomorrow than they did today. All of them will hire fewer people tomorrow than they did today. Some of them will leave. And the weight of that city needs everything working in the same direction towards growth, towards investment, towards job creation, towards bigger salaries for everybody, right? Just prosperity. A guy like Mamdani will kill it and reverse it. And you know, these guys can do structural damage, like real damage that could be, you know, uncontrollable.
Before we began, Jeff mentioned that he wanted to ask you something about AI. And so would I. My AI question with respect to the cities is that in New York, the financial capital of the world, I'm wondering if people are nervous because they fear that AI will wipe them out of their white-collar jobs on Wall Street. And I have personal experience of this because my son, Spiro, was studying to be an accountant at Kelly School of Business, looking at his debt sheet, you know, debit and debt.
Sure.
And he was like, Dad, I can't end up owing $250,000 to be an accountant when AI is going to wipe out accountants in 10 years. And
yeah.
I put that to you, Ted. What's going on?
Well, it's a big risk. I think you're bringing up almost, I want to say two different subjects. One is how crazy educational costs are.
Right.
And how it's not worth paying these big bucks. There's cheaper ways to learn the same things, maybe even learn them better. Sometimes I think that these big institutions are not teaching what they used to teach.
Yeah.
And it's way too much. So, you know, I would say to a lot of people, hey, if you want to be an accountant, don't go pay the big bucks somewhere. Go get the skills and then, you know, you won't have that debt, but you'll still get the job.
Right.
But the AI risk, yeah, I think the AI risk is obviously real. But I think that, you know, once we start getting all this data, then there's going to be ways of using the data. So I think jobs, you know, new types of jobs will be created using all this AI output. So it might be tough. It might take reorientation. But I still don't think it's going to be as crazy. Or we'll just say like anything. You know, we were worried about the web. We were worried about a lot of things.
Sure.
You know, we reorient. We figure it out. But the people need to be flexible. The you know, like your son or these young people coming
he's
up.
He's flexible. He's now in Local 9. He's an electrician.
Yeah,
and he's that's making smart. Good money.
Right. You know? So you know he can play around different ways. But we're going to have to be smarter. But the kids that aren't flexible are going to be in trouble. And this is a big problem. This is why, you know, people listen to stuff that guys like Mom Donnie say because they're promising all kinds of free stuff to as a back
right.
backstop.
And my fear is AI is going to make it easier for, you know, the fools in charge to get away with more. And I think to your fear point, John, I mean, about accountancy, I mean, you're going to see the probably the collapse of the big accountancy firms, but it's going to make it easier because it's a tool. I mean, it's like a hammer. It's like anything you can use as an individual. It's going to bring the ability to use it down to a micro level. So someone like, let's say you have a kid who does go to an accountant coming out of school now, can go build his own accountancy firm with a couple of really solid AI tools and can build clients. And that's going to give them individuals as opposed to this blanket, corporate model that kind of runs a lot of what we see now. But my fear is the idea that AI is going to crush the market, you know, the average sellers and buyers on Wall Street, which we've seen that shifting as technology is moved forward, is going to all of a sudden just upend it. And then they're going to have all these guys who are like, well, I'll pull my money out and figure out what I'm going to do next. And how do we overcome that? I mean, my question on that to you, Ted, is where in Illinois, you know, should we be focused on growth? Because the industries here, there are, but they're much different than they were when I was a kid. And then they're way different than when John was a kid. And so they're going to be moving forward. You know, what should people be focusing on? If I got a kid who's in sixth grade, you know, what industries, if they're going to stay in the state and put the taxes and all the crushing, you know, bureaucratic crap to the side for a second, where should we be focusing growth in this state?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, and I'm going to give you an answer which is a little weird. I've gotten to the point in Illinois where I have no idea, right? I've been in business all my life, except for the last, you know, few years with doing this policy work. I'm a big believer that in Illinois we've tried to figure that out too much. You know, Pritzker's trying to make, you know, Illinois the EV whatever country. You know, he's trying to do quantum, and I almost want to say not that I don't care, but but my whole focus should be, how the hell do we get out of the way of companies so they can do whatever the heck they make them as flexible as they can be, right? Because our economy, we should figure out how to get, you know, lower the taxes, lower the worker comp costs, you know, get rid of all the red tape and regulation, all the BS that I think, you know, Chicago companies go through to just even put a shingle on the wall.
Sure.
And that to me is more important than trying to figure out what industry to do, because I always like to say that the market's a lot smarter than me or anybody. And that's a big risk, because we're chasing companies, but we can't even, you know, try to create new industries here because they don't want to be here. So I'd really flip my focus to making Illinois and Chicago so damn easy of a place to start a business and to raise capital and to, you know, and to innovate. That should be our obsession. Get out of the way and really compete with Florida, compete with Texas, and say, hey, We're the sixth biggest state. Come here.
All we need is a few nuclear reactors to be around St. Louis. Don't bring them close to Chicago in case of an accident.
Nuclear is the future. So we've got some growth there.
Nuclear, man.
For sure.
Power.
But so Ted, what I'm hearing is, and I think if it should be a siren call to anyone who wants to run for anything and lead this state forward in a positive way, is that we all are talking about this, the idea that AI in the next 10 years, whatever that glide path is going to change a lot. And there's going to be upheaval and there's going to be pain and whatnot. The goal should focus in the state should be to lower that bar for getting businesses here, because if we get them here now, 10 years from now, they're going to still want to have to be here because they're already here, and they're going to have to innovate and let them innovate and overcome that here, give them a safe haven here to get to that point. And I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah, thank you for saying it that way. Yes, because look, we have no idea, right? We know AI is going to change everything, but yeah, we don't know how it's going to change things. And, you know, and it would be wrong for any government official to try to say, well, we're going to give subsidies of, you know, billions over here and there, you know, picking winners and losers. Hell no. You know, get out of the way, lower the, instead of taking that money, which you took from small businesses and amassed it to give it to somebody else, let it stay in the economy, and then make, you know, get out of the way and let the innovation happen here, and you know, attract all those companies to come here. And this should be a place where they want to play, and hopefully the state benefits from that, right? We become leaders.
You know, gentlemen, I need to make a public service announcement, because we have sponsors now. We're a legitimate operation, Ted Dabrowski. We have sponsors. There's one thing that AI cannot replace. And you know what that is? They can replace me. They can talk like Jeff. You can get one to talk like Jeff, sound like Ted. But one thing they can't do, make sausage. And Johncast News has a sponsor in the greatest sausage in Chicago.
No joke. I had some the other day, and it was, I'm still thinking about it days later.
Joseph's Finest Meats, 7100 West Addison Street, right near Harlem, three blocks east of Harlem, where you're going to get the best sausage, aged beef, anything you want. The knife skills can't be done with AI. The personalities of Sal and Ben can't be replaced by AI. The heritage pork used in the sausage can't be replaced. And Ted, I know you're a Polish sausage fiend, so I'm sure you want to go there.
I'm excited to go. You're making me hungry right now.
That's it. Because Jeff, what was the sausage like that you made?
Oh, we did the Italian sausage. Ben and Sal hooked me up with some the other day. I put it on the grill, and it was fantastic. I mean, as people know, I'm not a big meat guy. Mostly, it's a texture thing for me. I just have never had the sharpest teeth as I was born with, and so I get a bite into something, I get like a piece of gristle or a piece of, you know, whatever cartilage, and it just puts me off, and I never want to eat it again. This stuff was like smooth. I mean, the texture was fantastic. The flavor was just really fresh and good. And it's just, I cannot tell you. Like, and this is a quite a statement for me to say that, hey, go out and get some of this meat, because I'm not a meat guy. Anybody asks, you know, I'm maybe a fish guy here and there, but oh, so good.
Well, I am a meat guy. Yeah. And all I'm telling you is go to Joseph's Finest Meats, get yourself some sausage. Get yourself some oxtail, get a steak, enjoy yourself, and take care of your family, because there's no food or preservatives in that. There's no water added. None of that. It's just pure meat and knife skills. So
that ends the PSA. Well, Ted, on that note, I think we'll let you get back to crunching the numbers over at Wirepoints, and it's always great to have you here.
Well, thank you guys for having me on, and I'm gonna go find that sausage.
Addison and Ortica, Joseph's Finest Meats, the best place.
Tell them John sent you. They'll hook you up.
I will. All right, you guys take care.
See you, buddy. Bye. For Ted Dabrowski, president of Wirepoints.org, and for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, friend of Cats, Baker Pie's future physics teacher, and for me, John Cass, editor of John Cass News, where you always get a good cup of Midwestern common sense. Join us again next time, won't you, on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.